morning, church. Good morning, church. On behalf of these wonderful people here in our congregation, Newport-on-Tay, Church of Scotland, I wish to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. I also wish to acknowledge our brothers and sisters who are joining us via Zoom and those who will be listening to our service afterwards from our website. After the service, we are invited to our church hall for teas and coffees. And this evening, we'll be having an evening service at 6:30. If you are able, please join us. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 111, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let us pray. Loving and faithful God, we come before you today as a congregation of your people, seeking your presence and guidance. Just as you provided for Elijah in the wilderness, we trust that you will care for us in every season of life. You are the God who hears our needs, knows our struggles, and supplies us with all that we need to grow and thrive. As we gather in your name, we ask for hearts open to your word and hands ready to do your work. Help us to trust in your constant provision and to walk in the peace that only you can give. Merciful Father, we confess that too often, like the drought that surrounded Elijah, our hearts can become dry. We have not always trusted in your provision or followed your ways. Sometimes we seek after things that do not satisfy, and other times we fail to share. Forgive us for the times we have been selfish, for the moments we have doubted your care, and for the times we have turned away from doing good. Thank you, Lord, for your endless grace and mercy. Cleanse our hearts and renew our spirits, so that we may faithfully follow you, trusting in your love and care, just as Elijah did, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. 641, our next hymn. Good morning, children. Hello, everyone. Good morning. How are you? Good this morning? It's a bright morning, isn't it? Is it really a bright morning? This morning, for our children's address, I want to share with you something that is very nice, and everybody wants to do that. It is being kind and being good. I am sure that all of us would like to be very kind-hearted people and good people. But I want to go further by trying to talk about being kind and being good, even when people don't notice that, or they don't show appreciation for our kindness and our goodness. What does it mean to be good or to be kind? How does it mean to be? Yes. It means like being respectful and stuff. What an answer. Okay. Being respectful and stuff. Yes. Doing chores. Good. Any other answer? What does it mean to be good or to be kind? Yes. Cheering up a friend who is sad. Wonderful answers. Now, I will ask you another question. Have you really ever done something good or kind to somebody and the people behaved as if they did not even notice it? So they did not even say thank you, or maybe they behaved as if nothing happened. For example, helping your friend with their homework or sharing your snack. Have you ever had that experience? When you did something good to somebody and the person did not appreciate. Have you? How did you feel? Not very happy, of course. It can be very challenging if you put an effort to do something or you show kindness to people and then they just behave as if nothing happened. So you can feel sad. And you can even decide that you are not going to bother again. You are not going to do any good thing, right? Because if you do things and you expect people to at least say thank you, they don't, you can say, okay, I will not do it again. But there is something that the Bible says, that we should not stop doing the good that we are doing because people don't appreciate us. Because even if people don't say thank you, or appreciate what kindness we are doing towards them, there is somebody who appreciates us. Hello, Anna. Are you okay? Come. Anna, come. Ariel is very angry. Okay. Ariel, don't be angry. It's not so good to be angry, George. So, We learn a very good lesson from the Bible that we should not stop doing good. We should not stop doing the chores. We should not stop helping our friends with their homework. We shouldn't stop sharing our snacks with them simply because they did not say thank you or appreciate us. Because every good thing we do, there is somebody who sees us and who appreciates us. Who is that person? Yes. God. That person is God. So because we know that God sees us, God appreciates the good things that we do, we should not stop doing good. We should remain good children. Let us pray. God, our Father, thank you for this time together with the children. And thank you for your lesson about goodness, even when people do not appreciate the good that we do. We pray especially for these young minds as they grow in the faith, that, Father, you will continue to open their hearts to your word, and may they be willing to accept it as they grow. Father, we ask that they will be relentless in doing what is good and pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next theme is, we are marching in the light of God. Thank you.
Our first reading today is from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 1 to 6, and that can be found on page 358 of the Pew Bibles. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. The second reading is from the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 6 to 13, and that can be found on page 1190 of the Bibles. Warning against idleness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. And our next hymn is 153, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we come before you now ready to receive your word. As we turn our hearts and minds to the scriptures, we ask that you facilitate our understanding, just as you provided for Elijah in his time of need and sustained him through unexpected means. We seek you to nourish us with your wisdom today. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I want to reflect with you this morning on the theme, do not give up on doing what is good. Do not give up on doing what is good. And I hope that you are all feeling so joyful today, because we are talking about something we all love, being good, and how sometimes, despite all our efforts, it feels like the world says thanks, but no thanks. Now let's be honest. Have you ever done something really nice for someone and got zero appreciation in return? Maybe you held the door open for someone and they just walked confidently right through without so much as a nod. Or you spent hours cooking a meal for your family and the only feedback you got was, is there more salt? It is like the universe gives you a little pat on the back and then a quick shove off the stage. But isn't that the way it often goes with goodness? You pour your heart into doing the right thing, and sometimes the reward seems to be crickets. Or even worse, people just expect it. They don't say, wow, you are so thoughtful. Instead, they say, well, it's about time. In 2010, a 68-year-old woman named Elsie Holdren lost her job as a security guard. Not because she wasn't doing her job, but because she was too kind. Her superiors told her that her caring and generous nature was compromising her role. They said, in quotes, being caring and giving is not a job requirement, nor is it what you are paid to do. Can you imagine being told that you are too nice for your job? While Elsie's kindness led to her being reassigned, most people lose their jobs for not being nice enough, not the other way around. Elsie's story highlights the tension we sometimes face between doing what we know is good and what the world expects of us. It is a reminder that even when our kindness or hard work goes unappreciated or even gets criticized, God calls us not to give up on doing what is good. And by the way, don't worry. While we may not always get applause here on earth, there is a much bigger audience cheering us on from above. My dear Christian friends, we are reminded through Scripture that life is not merely a race of personal achievement, but a journey of faith, trust, and perseverance. The message in today's text, 2 Thessalonians 3:6-13 and 1 Kings 17:1-6, speaks to us about the power of working diligently, trusting in God's provision, and never growing weary of doing what is good. I have 2 points for you this morning. The first is the call to perseverance in work and goodness. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, offers a challenging principle. Anyone unwilling to work should not eat. It may seem harsh, but Paul is not simply addressing a specific social issue in Thessalonica. Rather, he is illustrating a broader, timeless principle. Those who are able must contribute. In a community, each person has a role. And when we neglect to fulfill that role, whether through laziness or by choosing idleness, we place an unnecessary burden on others. However, Paul balances this teaching with a deeper exhortation. Do not grow weary in doing what is right. This is where the heart of the Christian life comes into focus. It is not just about working to avoid idleness. It is about doing good, even when it feels exhausting or when we see little reward. Paul's challenge is for us to reflect on how we use the gifts, opportunities, and time that God has entrusted to us, and whether we allow weariness or cynicism to keep us from serving others. We live in a world where instant results and recognition are often expected. Whether it is at work, in relationships, or in ministry, we can become discouraged if our efforts seem to go unrewarded. But Paul urges us not to let the lack of immediate results or recognition keep us from serving others. The Christian call is not just to work, but to persist in doing what is right, even when it is difficult or when we see no tangible reward. The good works we do, whether it is helping a neighbor, volunteering at church, or showing kindness to someone in need, often don't provide immediate or obvious payback. In fact, there may be times when our efforts seem fruitless, when no one thanks us, or when we feel like our labor is in vain. In these moments, it is easy to grow weary, to feel like giving up. But this is where our faith in God comes into play. We are not simply working for human approval or earthly recognition. In Galatians 6:9, Paul writes, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." The promise here is that God sees every act of kindness, every hour spent in service, every unseen and uncelebrated effort. There will be a harvest, even if we do not see it immediately. And this leads us to the second and key element of perseverance. In 1 Kings 17, we find Elijah in a moment of absolute dependence on God. The prophet announces a drought, and soon after, God leads him to a brook where he receives water and is fed by ravens. But when the brook dries up, Elijah is sent to a widow who is down to her last handful of flour and oil. In this story, we see a theme that resonates deeply with our modern context, trusting in God's provision even when the resources seem to be running out. The widow, though poor, is invited by Elijah to trust that God will provide. This is an audacious act of faith. She could have easily said, "I don't have enough for myself, let alone a stranger." But through her trust, God sustains both her and Elijah. Here we see a powerful parallel. Doing good, trusting in God's promises, and continuing to act in faith, even when it seems impractical or impossible. Elijah's story reminds us that God's provision may not always come in ways we expect. Sometimes it arrives through a widow with almost nothing to give, or through ravens delivering bread. In our own lives, when resources seem thin or our efforts seem unnoticed, God calls us to continue trusting Him and to keep doing what is right. As the philosopher Immanuel Kant once said, "We are not rich by what we possess, but by what we can do without." It is a reminder that true richness comes not from what we hoard, but from what we give. brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know the circumstances that brought you to church this morning, but perhaps you have experienced the sting of doing good without receiving the recognition you hoped for. Maybe you have poured your heart into serving others, only to be met with indifference, disrespect, or even criticism. Your efforts to improve your community may have been overlooked, undermined, or even shattered. Or perhaps you find yourself in a place of deep need today, yearning for something essential, yet every attempt to attain it seems to end in frustration and disappointment. If this resonates with you, then take heart. From the words of Paul and the story of Elijah, we are reminded of two powerful truths. First, God sees your labor even when others do not. He values every act of kindness, every moment of service, and he promises that in due time, your faithfulness will be rewarded. Don't grow weary of doing good, for even when the world fails to notice, God does. Second, God will provide your needs, often in ways beyond what you could ever imagine. Just as Elijah trusted in God's provision during a time of drought, we too must trust that when our own resources run dry, God's care never does. When it seems that all hope is lost, God can and will provide in ways that are unexpected yet perfectly timed. As I bring this to a close, I want to draw your attention to the powerful message found in Luke 12, 22 to 34, where Jesus Christ tells us not to worry about our lives, what we will eat, what we will wear, or where our security will come from. Jesus reminds us, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Instead of being consumed by anxiety over material things, he invites us to seek God's kingdom first, promising that all we need will be provided for us. He assures us with these comforting words, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Just as Elijah trusted in God's provision in the wilderness, and just as Paul urged the Thessalonians to keep doing good without growing weary, Jesus calls us to a life of faith that is not driven by material gain, but by the assurance of God's goodness and care. The world may push us to prioritize success, security, and wealth, but Christ's message to us today is clear. We are to trust in the one who already knows our needs and delights in providing for us. As you go out into this new week, remember that God sees you. He sees every act of kindness, every moment of perseverance, and every time you choose to do what is right. You may not always receive recognition or immediate rewards, but know this, your Father in heaven is faithful, and he will not fail to bless the work of your hands. Just as the widow's small offering sustained Elijah, your faithfulness, no matter how small it may seem, will bear fruit. So, my dear friends, do not grow tired. Do not give up on doing what is good. God is for you. He sees you. He provides for you. And he is delighted to give you the kingdom. Go home today filled with hope and joy, knowing that the goodness of the Lord is at work in your life. Seek his kingdom above all else and trust that he will meet your every need. Let us live here with hearts lifted, confident that we are walking in the abundance of his love and with the assurance that we are rich, not by what we possess, but by what we give in faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your provision and for the call you have placed on each of our lives to work for your kingdom and to do good. We ask for strength when we grow weary and for trust when the resources seem scarce. Teach us to rely on you, to see the blessings in the midst of our challenges, and to never give up on doing what is right. Let our lives reflect your grace, generosity, and faithfulness as we serve others in your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brother, sister, let me serve you, hymn 694. Let us pray, let us dedicate the offering, and let us intercede for ourselves and for the world. There will be a responsory when I say, Lord, in your mercy, the congregation will answer, hear our prayers. Gracious and everlasting God, we come before you today dedicating our lives, our work, and our service to you. In the light of your word from 2 Thessalonians, we acknowledge the call to work diligently, to contribute faithfully, and to persist in doing what is right. Lord, we dedicate ourselves to using the gifts, talents, and opportunities you've given us for the good of others and for your glory. May we not grow weary in doing good, even when the road seems long or the reward distant. Help us to persevere, trusting in your promises, and to be people who reflect your love and compassion in every area of our lives. Lord, in your mercy. We are thankful for your love, mercy, and provision. We lift up our hearts in prayer, trusting that you hear the cries of your people and respond with compassion. In a world filled with uncertainty and hardship, we ask for your peace and guidance. Hear our prayers as we intercede for those in need both near and far. We pray for the world, especially the regions torn apart by war and violence. We lift up the people of Ukraine caught in the midst of conflict. May your peace cover their land and bring an end to violence, restoring hope and unity where there is division. We pray for the Middle East, where generations have been affected by strife. Lord, guide leaders and communities toward peace and healing. We remember the people of Anglophone Cameroon who continue to endure civil unrest. Bring justice, reconciliation, and an end to the suffering that so many have faced. For all regions of the world where there is civil unrest, violence, and turmoil, we ask for your healing presence. May your peace reign in places where chaos has taken hold. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also bring before you those who are suffering in mind, body, and spirit. For the sick, we ask for your healing touch. May they feel your presence in their time of need, and may your strength sustain them through every trial. For the sad and lonely, those who feel isolated, abandoned, we pray for your comfort. Surround them with love and send people into their lives who will remind them of their worth and value. We lift up those who are battling anxiety, weighed down by fear and uncertainty. Give them peace of mind, clarity, and trust in your care, reminding them that they are never alone. We pray for the elderly and infirm, those whose bodies are growing weak with age. Grant them comfort, dignity, and the support they need. May they feel cherished and loved in every season of life. Lord, in your mercy. We remember the bereaved, those who mourn and who mourn the loss of loved ones. Lord, in their grief, may they find solace in your promise of eternal life and hope in the resurrection. Bring comfort to their broken hearts and remind them of your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for our church family here at Newport on Tay Church of Scotland. We are grateful for the peace and love we enjoy in this community. Thank you for the fellowship we share, for the ways you continue to lead and sustain us. As we go into the coming week, we ask for your guidance. Help us to encounter good people, to live out our faith with courage, and to be examples of your love and grace in the world. May we trust in your provision, even when times are hard, just as Elijah trusted in you to provide through unexpected means. Help us not to grow weary in doing good, knowing that you see our efforts and that in due season we will reap the harvest that you have promised. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. A final hymn, let us build a house where love can dwell. 198. peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.